this Labor Day calls for no more pandemic unemployment. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Ullern for David Brancaccio. For the first time in the year and a half since the pandemic began, there are no more federal pandemic unemployment benefits. About half the states had already pulled out of some or all of those programs to try to get more people to go back to work, but they've now expired nationwide. That means no more unemployment benefits for gig workers and self-employed, no more extra $300 a week, and no more extended benefits for people who have been unemployed for a long time. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports on what that might mean for the labor market.
More than 7.5 million people were still getting those pandemic unemployment benefits that just expired.
Some people will find jobs, but the vast majority of them will endure September without having a steady stream of income.
Andrew Stettner is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation.
We've gotten a preview as some states have ended the benefits early.
A number of recent studies have all found that states that pulled out of the federal programs before they expired did not see a big spike in people going back to work.
Lack of childcare seems to be a factor. There's continuing concerns about safety.
Aaron Dubay is an economics professor at UMass Amherst. He worked on one study that found a small increase in people taking jobs after states had cut off benefits. But
overall, there's a lot of evidence that even though there was some increase in employment, there was a net negative impact on these economies.
Because, he says, when people lost expanded unemployment benefits and did not find work, they cut way back on their spending. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are closed for Labor Day, but we did see that oil prices fell about a dollar today, extending losses after the world's top exporter, Saudi Arabia, slashed crude contract prices for Asia over the weekend, reflecting concerns about demand outlook given the Delta variant. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. The CAC 40 in Paris is up 0.7%. And Japan's Nikkei closed up nearly 2%, adding more than 530 points. The NFL season starts on Thursday, and a lot of fantasy football leagues are having their drafts today, or they already had them over the holiday weekend. There's a lot of money on the line, too, not just for your specific league. The global market for fantasy sports is expected to grow up to over $22 billion in 2021. That's according to research and markets, but I can tell you firsthand, it wasn't always like this. I'm joined by Brody Rooley, a professor of sports leadership and management at Miami University in Ohio. Brody, good morning.
Good morning.
So I've been playing fantasy football since 1991. I was 9 years old. We were doing drafts at my granddad's office on poster board. We were mailing things to commissioners. Tell me about the evolution of fantasy football specifically, but also fantasy sports generally. We have come a long way. I know this. You tell me.
Oh, yeah. We've come a long way since really the 1960s. You would have in-person drafts. The newspaper was your source to get statistics and update them by hand. But fantasy sport really does mirror technological changes. So we think about the mid-1990s with the internet, and then all of a sudden, statistics can become digitized and be available online. We see that standings in leagues and transactions can all take place on a website as opposed to somebody's handwritten notebook. And all of a sudden now we can check our lineup on our phone. We can draft on the phone. We can see the activity through apps, through our tablets, through our cell phones. And once we see some legislative change, now all of a sudden daily fantasy sport has more of a voice at the table. And of course, sports betting.
That's what I was going to say too. Legalized gambling, I imagine, is actively changing the industry. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. It's interesting because we're in the middle of this transition. Sports betting used to be done through an offshore account or somewhere that was legal like Las Vegas. And now people can do it more in their home state. And time will tell, I think, how that impacts the fantasy sport industry. Perhaps it opens up more opportunity for the daily fantasy sport market to do it legally in states. But maybe a lot of the people that participated in daily fantasy sport really just want to do legalize sports gambling in their own state. And so maybe they drop daily fantasy sport to go do the legalized sports betting. So time will tell on that. But what I see happening right now is companies like FanDuel and DraftKings, they are, for lack of a better term, hedging their bets with providing sports betting, providing daily fantasy sport contest, both of those opportunities under that one umbrella.
I'm curious too, sort of watching broadcasters, watching also the leagues and industry understand, hey, this is a really good way to engage consumers, right? To sort of engage the market. It took the leagues, I guess, a minute to figure that out, but once they did, they were all in, yeah?
Yeah, it took them a hot minute. In 2010, ESPN released a report showing that fantasy sport users consumed nearly three times the media that non-fantasy sport users did, which, of course, advertisers and marketers love that type of consumer. And so once, like you said, Andy, they found out that fantasy sport users are highly invested, then all of a sudden, now we can open up different shows and segments and opportunities for those fantasy voices to then be heard. And look no further than ESPN providing multiple shows during prime time coverage dedicated to fantasy sport.
Brody Rulli is a professor of sports leadership and management at Miami University. Brody, thank you so much. Good luck with all your drafts. Good luck with everything.
Okay, thank you so much.
And good luck to all of y'all in your leagues as well. We're all going to need it. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.